Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what had been done, they were very grieved, and came and told their master all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, "You wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you?" And his master was angry, and delivered him to the torturers until he should pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you, from his heart, does not forgive his brother his trespasses.
Good morning. Certainly it is great to be part of the family of God here. One of the things that the world does not understand being a part of the family of God is that we have a peace that surpasses understanding. Certainly the peace that we have a life after this one, and so we don't have to focus about all the things that happen in this life, but try to focus on the things that are above, as Paul would write in Colossians chapter 3 and verses 1 and following there. But one of the other great things that we have as the family of God is also the joy that we have to share this time together, certainly to worship God, but even outside of the worship, to be able to spend time together and to get to know one another and to grow closer to one another is certainly what being a part of the family of God is all about. But there's something else that we have that the world does not have, and that is that as a Christian, we have the forgiveness of sins. One of the great things that we need to be reminded of as we get into the lesson this morning is to remind ourselves of what forgiveness really is. And a few weeks ago, we started this series, and this is the fourth lesson in that. And we talked about what forgiveness really is. It is God gifting us with His grace. And so imagine that I was to write you a $100 check, and no, I'm not going to actually write that specifically to you this morning, but if I were to write you a check for $100 and hand it to you, and you were to put it in your pocket and go home and never cash it and just put it in your closet, would you receive that blessing of $100? Certainly not. And that's exactly what God does with His grace, is He hands it out, He extends it to us, and He's saying, here's the check, here's what's going to pay for your sins, but you have to cash it. And how do we cash it? Well, as the Bible says, we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We must repent of our sins and turn to God. We must confess the name of Jesus and be baptized or immersed. This is how we cash that paycheck. This is how we receive that forgiveness. But one of the other things that the Bible says is if we do that, God sends away our sin. And so when we think about that goat that was sent away from Israel in Leviticus, he talks about it being the figure, the scapegoat, the one that's going to take your sin away from you. And next year you're going to have to do this again, but for now it's taking the sin away from you. That is truly what forgiveness is. God extending that grace, we've received it through obedience, and now He's sending that sin away. That's forgiveness. But we also looked at, and if I can remember all these things, why we are forgiven. Ever ask, why am I forgiven? Well, remember in Romans 3, the Bible says that it's not because we're good, it's not because we're perfect, it's not anything I can do on this earth to come up with to be saved. And so God has reached out His hand once again. He's extended that grace and His love and His mercy and His kindness. And He said, I know you can't save yourself, so I'm going to help you. I'm going to save you from your sins. And I'm going to give to you the blood of Jesus Christ. And that blood is going to send away your sin. It's going to wash it away. And remember, we talked about that in the third lesson, what happens when I am forgiven. And you remember that the actual term means to have a covering. And so if you were to imagine God taking a stone, and that stone was the debt that you owe Him, it's all the sins that you've ever committed before becoming a Christian. And once you obey the gospel, He takes that blood and He washes all those sins off that stone, and now that is a perfect stone. That's what we have in the forgiveness as Christians in the family of God. And isn't that great? I mean, every day we wake up, we have forgiveness in the blood of Jesus. I can trust that God is going to forgive me when I walk in the light and ask Him to forgive me when I do fall short of that wonderful grace. That's a beautiful blessing from God. But this morning, what I want to talk about is not the grace that we receive from God, not the forgiveness that we receive from God, but the forgiveness that we need to impart into our life. How can we put that into practice? You see, as the family of God, certainly we're not perfect and we're going to have problems. And like any family, if you have your own family, you certainly have people who you may argue with, people that you may fight with. And so certainly problems do exist, not only in the physical family, but also in the spiritual family. I want you to turn into your Bible to Mark chapter 11 and verse 25. Because here, there's going to be this challenge that it is really indeed a challenge. And that is that as we've learned about the forgiveness that we have in God and His mercy and grace and why He's done that, we need to implement that in our lives. And if someone has done something wrong to us, whether it may be lying to us or speaking bad about us or maybe even something worse, maybe it's a relationship with a spouse beating their wife. I mean, there's a ton of things that can go wrong. But notice what Mark 11 and verse 25 says. And whenever you stand praying, forgive, that is, you forgive, if you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. And verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your trespasses. That is a very powerful passage, but it's a challenging one. Forgiving someone for something they've done to you is not easy. You know, sometimes we can say that, and sometimes it is. Think about it like this. If you think about your own family and you think about your spouse, you may get into an argument, but oftentimes within just a few days or however long it may take you guys, maybe it's just a couple of minutes, you forgive. And so it's easy to forgive your family. Maybe it's a best friend you've known your whole life and they make you mad for just a moment. Well, it's easy to forgive them as well, isn't it? And so it's easy sometimes to forgive the little things. But Jesus, He's teaching us here that it's not easy to forgive and that it's a challenging part of our life. And we need to understand that. And as we read these scriptures, we understand that God understands that. It's difficult sometimes for us as people to forgive because we're not God. And at the same time, He tells us that we can forgive. And notice there's a phrase there in that passage. And whenever you are standing, forgive. If you have, look at this, under anything against anyone. Not just some things. I'm going to forgive some things, but if you do this, I cannot forgive you. Well, that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. It says anything. If anyone wrongs you for anything, notice the list. That list can be indefinite. It can continue to grow. And so the Bible teaches us that we must forgive, and we must forgive anything and anyone if we're going to follow what Jesus says there. If you want my forgiveness, guess what you have to do in your life? You have to be willing to forgive and to forgive people when they wrong you and when they sin against you, no matter what they do to you. That's a hard concept. Now, the easy things are, you know, okay, I can forgive somebody from that. It's the difficult things normally where we have a problem. Forgiving others, then, in Luke chapter 6, in verse 36, as we tie this together to the lesson this morning, it's not only something we must do, but we need to remind ourselves that also sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's difficult. That does not mean that it is impossible. In fact, the Bible tells us just the opposite, that it is possible to forgive. Luke 6 and Luke's account there of judging there, going back to the prior verse in verse 36, be merciful even as your Father is merciful. One of the characteristics that we need to have if we're going to forgive is mercy. And mercy, all that is pity. When I have pity on someone, I understand what they do. I've understood. Maybe I haven't done that exact thing, but from an outside view, that pity says, I understand that you're not perfect. I understand you're going to make mistakes. I understand you're going to have me forgive you for certain things if you've wronged me. That's something we must have as a follower of God. But notice, judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be measured you back. Or you get that back. And talking about really reaping what you sow. He's not talking about doing away with all judgment. But what he's talking about is that we need to be willing to forgive when some of those things happen. That's a possible thing. That's not something that's out of reach. And so that's what we need to keep in mind. As we think about this lesson this morning, go over to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. Here's where they're going to ask Jesus why in the world he has the power to forgive sins. And he's going to give them the answer. Back up in verse 1, we see, and getting into a boat, he crossed over and came into his own city, and behold, brought to him a paralytic lying on his bed, in which Jesus saw their faith. He said to the paralytic, "Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven." And behold, some of the scribes said to themselves, "This man is blaspheming." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'?" You see, this is where we begin to see that forgiveness is sometimes hard. Isn't that what Jesus just said? Which is easier, to forgive or to heal him? Now, he's not saying that, you know, he wasn't going to heal him, but he's suggesting then in the text that sometimes it's just easier to do the miracle. Imagine if we were to think about our own problems and maybe something that we've done to somebody, and we think, you know what? I would rather see someone walk across the water. Wouldn't Jesus do that? That would be easier than to forgive this person. I just can't forgive this person for that. And so the concept is that sometimes in our minds, because of how we are, a miracle is sometimes easier, at least in a spiritual sense. And Jesus says, you know, I can forgive. And as you read the text there, he begins to continue to explain that he has the power to forgive sins while he's on earth. And so he has that authority from the Father. But I want us to consider some passages as we understand that we have not only the obligation to forgive, but also the fact that it is possible. Now I want to look at some considerations to help us understand, and I want to see it from the perspective of God, from the Godhead, because it's interesting as we think about forgiveness that the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit all speak to this point. Turn over in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. In verse 9. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 9. "But concerning love, the brethren, you have no need of anyone to write to you, for yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. Indeed, do you not all love the brethren throughout Macedonia? But we exhort you, brethren, to do so more and more, to aspire to live quietly, to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as was charged you, so that you may command the respect of outsiders and dependent on nobody." Of course, that's talking about God, if you read up into the context there, about the change of feelings. And so in order to forgive somebody, one of the things that the Father, that God tells us, is that we have to be willing to change. You know, oftentimes the thing about not forgiving is it's anger. But we have to change that, and that's a hard one. But it's not impossible. And we can change that anger into something that is more of happiness for someone. And, of course, part of that is forgiving them, I think. And part of the process is if you forgive them and let that go, a lot of that weight, a lot of that problem will go away on its own. Notice what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 5, in verses 39 through 41. Here's Matthew's account of it. Excuse me. Go back up to verse 38. "You have heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth,' according to the old law. But I say to you, do not resist one who is evil, but if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if anyone would sue you and take your coat, let him have your cloak as well. And if anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to him who begs from you, and do not refuse him who would borrow from you. How difficult is that as we think about the Son of God saying that? To change my mind and to get along with what I need to do. He lays it down right there. How many of us would turn to someone the right cheek? You know, I heard a story one time where people were taking this literally, and they were slapping people on the cheek and then saying, turn and let me slap you on the other and forgive me. How ridiculous does that sound? Because he's obviously not speaking literally here. But how often do we think about forgiveness and we think about considering the fact that we need to turn the other cheek? We need to be willing to do that. That's part of how we forgive somebody. And even when we think about those difficult times, this is one of those things where we can say, I can do it. And it has to begin with understanding I can turn to them my right cheek if they've hit me on the left, right? That's how it goes. Romans 12, 19 through 21, as Paul is writing there through the Holy Spirit, he's going to remind us of another characteristic that we need, another quality, as a Christian if we're going to forgive somebody. And that's how it's possible. That's why we must do it. This is one of those commands. It's not any different if we were commanded to be baptized. And so it's not like it's optional. It's not a matter of opinion. We must forgive. And so keep that in mind. Oftentimes we like to try to make subjects subjective and opinionated, but the Bible is quite clear. Romans chapter 12, 19. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. No, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by doing, you will heap burning coals upon his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, how oftentimes does the Bible tell us, you know, the wicked people of the world, they do a lot of the same things Christians do. They're giving. They give to foundations, as we know. They haven't become Christians, and they'll help people as much as they can. So what makes us different than them? And the idea then is we need to be able to not take vengeance. Notice there, vengeance is mine. Leave it into God's hands. And when they talk about forgiveness, if there's no forgiveness there available, of course, God is going to take care of that. And so think about the kindness. Think about the change of attitude. These are all considerations that we need to have as we think about being children of God. Now I want to look at some other things. I want to look at some examples. How, if we were to ask this morning, I'm going to have to put this open. So how do I go about forgiving someone, Jesse? What is the process? How do I start that? And of course, the Bible is going to tell us through example. Matthew chapter 18 is a familiar passage. It's normally used in light of the context of dealing with a brother who is in sin and done something against us, and it's really leading up to withdrawal. But there's a principle laid down that Matthew writes there, and we need to understand as we think about how do I go out to forgive somebody, or if someone needs to forgive me, if I need to offer them forgiveness, however, which side of the coin you would be on. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. Now, do you notice what he says there? If something's happened between two Christians, three, whatever the case may be, go to your brother. So you see what God tells us if we're going to forgive. We have to have an open line of communication. We have to actually be willing to go and talk to them. If not, what's going to happen? Well, there's going to be bigger issues. Notice what he says next. If he listens, you have gained your brother. You know, we have to listen to each other. Typically the stereotype is that guys don't like to talk as much as women and share our feelings and that sort of thing. But God is saying the opposite for forgiveness. If you want to forgive somebody, if you want to be forgiven, you have to basically share your feelings. You have to hear and listen, and you have to talk and communicate and start explaining to one another what happened. If that doesn't happen, forgiveness is not going to happen. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. So if there is an issue, now notice we're not talking about actually withdrawing from them, but dealing with forgiveness, if there is an issue that's not sorted out, then perhaps it's another Christian that I need to take with me so that they can kind of be an intermediary that can maybe sort this out and help the issue resolve itself between the two parties. That's certainly what is needed, and that's what the Bible says if we're going to forgive and move along. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. Now notice there's a step-by-step process to forgiveness. It starts with the one-on-one, and then it goes to taking one or two, and then it becomes available to the church. Then the whole congregation comes together to try to work it out. How can we figure this out? And of course, with any congregation, elders are going to lead in that that have the qualified elders to do such. Then it becomes known before the congregation, and they will sort it out. But then, of course, the withdrawal process. But we're not focused on that because this is what we're learning here. In order to forgive, we have to learn the process, and God tells us this is the process. And what we learn is that we need to hear one another out. We need to be honest and truthful to one another in the conversation. To forgive, we also need to be humble. Is that not a quality that is often stated over and over again in the Bible? That we need to humble ourselves. And certainly if we're going to forgive or be forgiven, humility is going to be there as well. And another thing that we learn from Matthew 18 is that we need to be helpful. Both parties, if there's not forgiveness, if there's something going on, we need to be helpful. What does that mean? We're going to offer up some solutions to figure out how we can get past it. All of that is included in this process of Matthew 18, beginning with the one-on-one process, and all those qualities of hearing, listening, being honest, being humble, and being helpful along that way. Those are the things that we carry through that process to help us reach that possibility of being forgiven. And so I want to look at three characteristics here. As we looked at Matthew 18 and we focused on this forgiveness that we have there, or maybe perhaps I would say three big characteristics that we need to have when we are going through the process of forgiveness. And the first one is, and surprise, surprise, this isn't going to surprise anyone, right? Patience. Patience is very important, especially when we think about forgiveness, because feelings are hurt, there's some wrong there, someone has made a mistake. And it's difficult. And so we have to be patient. And that's not the easiest thing to do, especially for most of us who want things to be done now, want it to be over, and let's move on. But patience could be anywhere from what? Who can define the duration of patience? You know, in certain situations, it may take a couple of weeks, it may take a couple of months. I mean, it's different, but we need to be patient no matter how long it takes to reach forgiveness between the two parties that are having the issue. Proverbs 15:18 says it like this: a hot-tempered man stirs up strife, but he who is slow to anger quiets contention. It's a wise saying, huh? I'm glad I didn't come up with it, because I wouldn't come up with that. That's part of being patient. Part of controlling our wrath. Part of controlling our anger. Well, is that not required if we're going to forgive somebody? Is that not required on the person that needs to be forgiven? Of course. And so patience, as they say, is a virtue, but patience is one of those big characteristics we need for forgiveness. Another one that we read about is over in 1 Peter chapter 3, in verses 8 through 9. And it's here that Peter gives us the big one that we've somewhat hit on in this sermon this morning. And that is that we have to have mercy or compassion. Now, when we think about Jesus, he could sympathize with us because he was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. And so he was able to live perfectly, but also understand what we go through temptation, having a fleshly body. Interesting concept there, as I turn over to 1 Peter here. But 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 gives us a nice description of having that kind of compassion for one another. Finally, all of you have unity of spirit, sympathy, love of the brethren, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not return evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you have been called, that you may obtain a blessing. Is that not how we should respond in a situation with forgiveness? That's how we should respond. And of course, sympathy there has the idea of being merciful and compassionate toward one another. And so the three words are patience, compassion, and mercy. We need to be merciful. And I know mercy and compassion are very similar, but notice that it has to do with not only the outward man, not only our actions, but our mind. It has to do with the mentality that we have, that we're going to be kind. And notice, with all this talk about forgiveness, there has to be the desire to be forgiven. So the question may be asked, well, what if someone doesn't want to follow that? What if someone doesn't want to follow the process of Matthew 18? And the answer is, I don't know. You can only do so much. The point of these scriptures is to teach us we need to do our part in this. But if there's a party that is being rebellious, being resistant, then we can continue to pray, we can continue to love, we can continue to try to communicate. But at the end of the day, it's going to come to a point where if it's not resolved, then what does Matthew 18 say? We got to withdraw. We got to withdraw. And that's sad. It has to get to that point, but that's what the Bible teaches us. When we're withdrawing, that means we're showing our love and care and we want to resolve the issue. And it's never fun, but the Bible says it's the most effective way to try to win a soul back. Nothing else will. So let us remind ourselves of first putting these things into practice. We have to understand the powerful thing that we have, and that is the forgiveness from God. We have to understand that it's not because of me, but because of what God has done for me that I am forgiven. We have to understand these things from God's perspective, and then we can begin to put them in our own lives and begin to practice these qualities so that we can resolve issues if issues come up. And so certainly that's why God gives us that information. And so I want to extend the invitation to you. As we've talked about this morning, we've talked about forgiveness. Are you a forgiven sinner? What does that mean? Are you a Christian? Have you obeyed the gospel? The Bible says, plain and clear, that Jesus is the way. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father through me. You will not get to heaven without the blood of Jesus. And that's why He said that He purchased the church with His own blood, Acts 20:28. But He also said that you have to believe that I am He, or you will die in your sins. If you don't believe, if you don't have faith in your heart that I am the Messiah, that I am the Son of God, you will die in your sins. But He didn't stop there. He said, you don't only believe that I am the Son of God, but you also have to confess. You have to confess that I'm the Messiah, just as Paul did in Matthew 16 there while they're talking about Christ's church, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. But what about, is that it? No. Meaning the world would suggest otherwise, but the Bible says we have to repent. Not a worldly repentance, but a godly sorrow, 2 Corinthians 7:10, that produces repentance. And then we have to arise, as Paul said to do, and as he was told in Acts 22:16, arise and be baptized, calling on the name of the Lord. By getting up and being baptized, we are calling on God to save us from our sin. That's how we're forgiven. That's how we're added to the church. That's when we are a part of the family of God, and we can begin to have family problems and start practicing this forgiveness that we need to practice. Now, as a child of God, we know that we don't have to continue to be baptized, but we do have to show God that we love Him by walking in the light and by obeying His command. And if we do that, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness as we do that. And so if there's any need this morning, whether it's a Bible study, whether it's to respond to the gospel, or as a Christian to rededicate your life, if there's any need, please come forward while we stand and praise God together.